All right, let's bring him in. Sportsnet 650 Canucks analyst, Mr. Corey Hirsch. Happy Tuesday, sir.
Good morning. Hey, so when I first got online with you guys and I could hear you talking, it was the first words out of your mouth was, he couldn't stop the puck. And I thought me being the guest, I thought you were talking about me. I really did.
We would never do that.
These guys do rip you, Hershey. But I call you the best redheaded goalie in Canucks history.
Hey, you know what? Considering there's some really good ones, I appreciate it.
Glenn Hanlon, but I'm going to take you.
Well, let's rank them. Hanlon,
Hirsch.
Schneider.
Oh, yeah, Schneider, yeah.
You know what, but Ricky's teams would never win. They would always have cap trouble, Hirsch. Yeah. So I don't know if that's really much of a compliment.
My team, all-time Canuck team would have Cam Neely on it, though. Thanks, Tom Warren.
Yeah, I don't know if you could do that. See, but did any of those other guys win NHL all-rookie team? Did Schneider get on that?
No, I don't think so.
Were you all-rookie team? Who was on that team, Hirsch?
The only ones I remember are me and Alfredson, because Alfredson, I think, won Rookie of the Year.
Good company.
Another redhead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Eric Daze was part of that Rookie of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's a name from the past.
There's a big guy at the
good
time.
Player.
Hey, join us on this. We've had a very spirited discussion through the first hour and 45 minutes of our show this morning here, Hirsch. And it's we were throwing out the idea of a sweetener. If the Canucks, if you really want to move Louis Erickson and get that contract off the books, what sort of sweetener would you be willing to at least palate in order to move it? And we gave a couple of options.
Boy.
We suggested a first-round pick. We suggested Jake Virtanen. And we suggested a pair of second-rounders in order to move that $6 million AAV for three more years. I mean, what say
oh my
you?
Goodness.
I mean, are you prepared to offer up a sweetener in that sort of case to move Louis?
I don't even know if you can offer a sweetener. Someone else is going to take that deal. But, yeah, I don't think a first rounder and Louis Erickson would be a little bit much. I mean, you just send Louis to the minors or whatever, and you could do that and just eat that contract. Or, well, I mean, they got to find some money, right? They got to find money to sign Brock. So Jake Virtanen falls right in that wheelhouse. I got to think, you know what, probably a Louis Erickson, Jake Virtanen type thing. But, oh, boy, you know. That's a really good question. I don't know how you get rid of that contract. All I know is that there's a couple other teams around the league that I've been talking to. You know, Calgary would desperately love to get rid of the James Neal contract. I know that Nashville would love to get rid of Turris's deal. So, you know, I think you're just going to have to move bad contract for bad contract.
Yeah, do you think that's what it turns into? Here, you take this one, people are sour on him, we'll take yours.
I'll trade you poop emoji, essentially.
It really is, and then you hope that a guy gets better, that he performs.
Yeah.
But there's some, you know, I think that James, the Neal trade deal in Calgary, I think James Neal has another year on that contract, right? So...
Well, Lucic,
an extra year, he's got four. Yeah, what has Lucic got, four left on that deal?
Yeah, one extra.
Yeah. Lucic has got four more. Neal also has got a lot of term left in that contract as well.
Yeah, right.
He's four or five more years, I think. You know what, Neal's got, he's at four more years just like Milan Lucic as well.
Now, what if, so I don't know the cap situation. If they send... Let's say they said Louis Erickson to the minors. What do they save in cap space?
$1 million.
So it's only $1 million. So that doesn't even get Brock signed.
No.
So it's their hands are, oh my God. Yeah, that contract, it's going to be, they are strapped.
Hirsch, for everything that Jim has done, and I think he's been very proactive. I like what he's done. But if he somehow announces that they've moved Louis Erickson, and you don't see a sweetener being a player like a Virtanen and a Thatcher Demko, something that surprises. Is that not maybe his best GM move of the summer, if he can get rid of that contract and free up that
room? Oh, God. That would be genius of them to be able to do that. Again, but, I mean, who can take – like, I'm looking at everybody's cap situation. I went through it all yesterday. And there's not a lot of teams that have the cap space for that.
Yep.
There's a lot of guys that are teams that are sitting at like $60 million in cap space, but they still got five guys to sign. So it's, you know, they might just be eating that contract. But yeah, I you know, what else do they have? You're not going to give up any of your top six. You know, the only young guy you really have to give up of any value is Jake Virtanen. And you're not going to give up a first rounder with Louis Erickson unless you get something really impressive back. So probably, yeah, that's, I would say that's probably the best way to go.
By the way, Louis Erickson turning 34 tomorrow. He will celebrate his 34th birthday. Just a little timing, all of it. Corey Hirsch with us here on Sportsnet 650. Hirschy, one of the another story that I thought was quite interesting that might relate to the Canucks is Jordan Binnington re-upping with the Blues. Gets 2 years, $4.4 million annually for those 2 years. Boy, it sure feels like a good deal compared to what the Oilers locked up Koskinen at. And then how does that impact, I guess, Jacob Markstrom going into this year?
Well, that's, yeah. With that deal with Binnington, I'm shocked that he only signed a 2 year deal.
Yeah.
But, you know, and he had arbitration rights, too. I think he filed for arbitration. So I'm a little bit surprised. But, you know, with like you said, I mean, Koskinen, I think, is at 4.5.
Yeah.
So.
And one more year.
That's a great deal for the Blues. But moving forward for Jacob Markstrom, Jacob's got to prove last year wasn't a flash. Like, I think he'll be fine this year. But, you know, now all of a sudden there's pressure on Markstrom. Okay, there was no pressure on Markstrom last year. That team wasn't good enough. They knew when you're goalie and you go into it and you know that, you know, ultimately at the end of the game, it's not going to be your fault. You're going to get 40 shots. Game's easy to play. But how are you when the pressure's on when, you know, next year there's going to be expectations that this team, the defense is much better, everything's much better. How is Jacob Markstrom going to perform then? I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be good. But, you know, it seems like the $5 million mark seems to be right in the wheelhouse of where Jacob Markstrom will be. I guess the Canucks will worry about that next year, though.
You coach Jordan Binnington. He gets his money finally. He handled the utmost pressure of Game 7 of a Stanley Cup. Do you think this two-year deal is just the stopgap and he still will be young and he'll sign? Or I'm not going to say flash in the pan. He was unbelievable for 1 year. But do you think his next contract will be as big, if not bigger? He's the real deal.
I still think he'll be good. Because I know him personally. I know him as a person. I think teams will start to figure him out a little bit better. But he's very athletic. He's a smart goalie. He's got those weird long limbs, like the Dominic Hasek limbs. Like, or you got just like arms and legs going everywhere. So. I think he'll be fine. I don't think he's a flash in the pan. I think he'll have some rough games. I think he'll have a rough month here or there. But I think ultimately, you know, you don't get to the Stanley Cup Finals and win a Stanley Cup without being a good goalie. Yeah, the Andrew Hammond thing, but he never got to the finals. He won like 20 games in a row and that was it. Right? There was nothing. That was a flash in the pan. This guy went through four NHL series, tough series, and won them all, and won big game sevens. So that just shows you his mental makeup. I think the Blues are I think they're lucky to find him. You know, they weren't even going to play him. But I think this kid, I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be the real deal.
Corey, of the eight players the Canucks have added, and I'm going to include Miller in there, and then all the July 1st signings, the average height and weight of those guys is 6'3", 210. This team is bigger. How much does that make them better?
Well, that goes in for what the Blues did, right? So I think that's probably what Jim, you know, they were all looking at was size and weight after. I think there's a lot of teams that are going to try to model after the Blues what they did. I don't know if that's the way the league wants it to go, though. So it's going to be interesting. I think they're better, but, you know, and I'll ask you guys this. So I was looking at the standings yesterday of who made the playoffs last year. Who's going to be out for the right. Canucks to get in? Right, you've got St. Louis, Dallas, San Jose, Vegas, Colorado, you know, Calgary. You've got like who's going to get bumped out? That's going to be my question.
It's a valid question because I think Colorado seems like they're trending upwards. I mean, Dallas certainly. They went to double overtime in Game 7 with the ultimate winning team of the Stanley Cup. So, I mean, Dallas, how close are they adding Pavelski? But I would say this, like, they still got a lot of talent both sides, but I think Winnipeg's taken some significant hits. And yeah, I would also say San Jose just lost Joe Pavelski, a guy who was a 40 goal scorer. You know, what is that team going to look like going forward?
It's going to be interesting because someone's got to come out for the Canucks to be able to get in. And Edmonton's, you know, Edmonton, if they don't make the playoffs again, can you imagine? Like, they're going to burn that city down.
But are they better?
So, I don't know. I don't know if they are with the new coaching staff. I don't see what magic system Dave Tippett's going to put in that other coaches haven't put in.
Agreed.
And they still don't have, in my opinion, goaltending. So, the Canucks will be knocking on the door, but I just don't know who's going to get bumped. It's going to be just as tight as it was every other year and last year.
Hershey, before we go, here's a little something for you. Your 1995-1996 all-rookie team.
Wow.
Let's hear it.
In goal from the Vancouver Canucks, Corey Hirsch. On the blue line from the Boston Bruins, Kyle McLaren.
Wow.
Oh, I didn't even know that one.
There's a
tall guy.
Yeah, big guy.
On the blue line and a regular contributor on Wednesday mornings to the starting lineup from the Florida Panthers, Ed Jovanovski.
I do. Yep, Jovo.
From the Ottawa Senators, playing center from Sweden, Daniel Alfredsson.
Alfie.
From the Chicago Blackhawks, Eric Daze. And rounding out your all-rookie team, from the New Jersey Devils, Peter Sikora.
It's a bit of a weak all-rookie team, other than Jovo.
You and Jovo had all that.
Sikora turned out to have a pretty good career.
Sikora just retired on the weekend.
Oh, David, Daze had a good career. Like,
Daze was good.
Daze had health
issues.
Great
rookie
issues, yeah. He was big talent, big talent, but I think just injuries, and I think it was concussions that ultimately injured.
I'm just looking who you would have won.
Nicely done, by the way, Sulkowski.
If you would have played the 96-97 team, Patrick Lalime, Berard, Yanni Niedema, Aginla, Jim Campbell, and Sergei Barrison, you beat the team next year.
No, I would take I'd take the 96 squad over the 97.
Oh, yeah, but I tell you what, you don't want to run into the 95 squad, I don't think. Jim Carrey in goal. Chris Therrien, Kenny Johnson playing defense, Peter Forsberg, Paul Kariya, Jeff Friesen up front.
Yeah, up front, that's tough.
Good forward, right? Shaky back end, though.
Yeah. It's funny.
Oh, we had Jovo.
How about this one? Felix Potvin, Vladimir Mikhailov, Niedermeyer, Scott Niedermeyer, Lindros, Solani, and Joe Juno.
That one's probably the best one I've ever heard.
Man,
that's pretty good.
They only missed on one.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Hershey, you're number one in our heart, buddy. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
You're the man.
Hershey.
Corey Hirsch.
I'll be seeing you guys next week.
All right. Yeah, sounds good.
All right.
For coffee. There you go. Corey Hirsch.